Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, and we will be considering verses 11 through 14 this evening. I know the bulletin says 12 to 14, but I wanted to tack on that 11th verse. I think that it's necessary for the context of this passage. And as you're turning there, I do want to speak briefly on the bigger context of our passage. This book was written to the Jewish believers who were facing times of great persecution, and they were tempted to fall away from the Christian faith, to return back to the Jewish practices that were familiar to them. Much of the book is taken up with showing how the types and the shadows of the old covenant system were pointing forward to and found their fulfillment in Christ. And this is what the author has just begun arguing concerning the priesthood. The end of chapter 4 and the beginning of chapter 5 are an explanation of how Christ is the great high priest after the order of Melchizedek. But in the middle of making this argument, the author of Hebrews makes an aside to address a major issue that he sees in the lives of these believers. And it's here that we will pick up this evening, looking at Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. This is God's holy and infallible word. Give it your full attention. About this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Thus far the reading of God's word, let us ask his blessing upon it. Heavenly Father God, we do ask that your blessing would be poured out upon this reading of your word. We rest in the promise, Lord, that you have given us that when your word goes out, that it never returns void. And so, Lord, we ask that that blessing, that promise would be true in the reading of this word this evening. Father, open up our ears in this place that we may not be dull of hearing, but that we would have ears to hear this word rightly and that you would bless that in us. And now, Father, as we approach the proclamation and preaching of this word, let it go forth. Let it be sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing between bone and marrow, between soul and spirit. Let it penetrate deeply into our hearts, bringing us to conviction. Father, let this word be a word of conviction, a word of warning, and a word of encouragement to us in this place. Let your spirit apply it to our hearts, so that we may grow and mature in Christ. And we ask this in his name. Amen. Have you ever seen someone who is on a liquid-only diet? Now, I'm not talking about someone who intentionally is only taking in liquids for the purpose of losing weight. No, I'm talking about someone who is forced to be on a liquid-only diet because of a physical state that they're in. This happens a lot of times when people experience extreme traumatic injury, like in a car wreck. And you see it oftentimes when people are placed into comas. At first, there doesn't seem to be much of an impact upon the person. But after just a few days, the changes begin to be evident. They become much more visible. Eventually, the person begins losing extreme amounts of weight. Their muscles begin to shrink as their body begins to break down fat cells and muscle mass in order to provide the body with nutrients and energy that it needs to sustain its vital organs. If you watch someone in this state for any extended period of time, you will see them begin to waste away. And that's because the body needs actual food to continue growing and developing and maturing. Now, this isn't to say that there's no sustenance being given to the body during this time, but it's simply the bare minimum that's needed to keep the body alive. As our bodies begin to grow and develop, they need more rich nutrients than what can be provided for by a liquid-only diet. Now, anyone here who has kids knows this very well. An infant can obtain all the nutrients that it needs to grow and develop and mature simply by taking in its mother's milk. But as that child gets older, he needs real food to maintain the progression in development. Now, I know this isn't some crazy revolutionary thing for you all to hear. This is common sense. It's something that we all know. But far too often, Christians don't take the common sense aspect of this physical state and then apply it to the reality of their spiritual state. This is what the author of Hebrews is pointing out here in this passage. He began to speak of the priesthood of Christ after the order of Melchizedek, but he felt the need to stop and address the spiritually immature state of these believers before he could go on any further. It was as if he was saying, unless you become mature in the faith and advance beyond the mere elementary things of the faith, I can't explain this to you in such a way that you will understand. You would think that the longer someone has been a Christian, the more he would advance in his knowledge of Christ, the more useful he would be, and the more fruitful he would be in Christ's service. But as our text shows, this was not the case with these early Christians. And so this evening, I want you to examine yourselves and see if this is the case for you as well. Brothers and sisters, you must feast on spiritual food if you are to grow in spiritual maturity. So let us first turn our attention to the digression of faith in our text. Look with me back at verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. This is a time in these believers' lives and they should have been advancing in the faith, but instead, they've digressed. Instead of maturing, they've become more immature. And it should strike you as crazy that this was happening to these believers, especially considering the fact that these were Hebrew Christians. These were those to whom the oracles of God had been given, those who had the law of the Lord as their guide and were able to see the connection between the old covenant and the new in Christ. All of those burnt offerings and sacrifices and feast days were designed to point them to Christ. They should have been the ones who saw this clearly. And so by this point, they should have been able teachers, those who can explain these mysteries of God to others who were not blessed with the prior knowledge that they had. But instead, the author says that these Christians were not ready to be teachers, but needed to be taught once again. The author isn't saying that he expected all of these believers to be preachers and theologians, but at this point, he was saying that they should be able to teach their families and their co-workers and their neighbors the truths of the gospel. But that wasn't the case. When the gospel was first preached to them, it aroused their attention. It stirred up their thoughts concerning these matters. But now, with many of them, it had become a common thing. They boasted in their knowledge of these things, all the while actually forgetting even the most basic elements of it. The gospel had become like a ringing in their ears, something that after enough time they paid no attention to. But don't be so quick to be harsh towards these Hebrew Christians. Because if one were to look at the landscape of American Christianity, and not just out there, but in here, within these walls, we would find that this is still a common thing within the church. There are those who still are only taking in the milk of the word, the elementary principles of the faith, while neglecting the solid food of doctrine. Examine yourselves. Are you comfortable with milk only? What are you doing to advance and mature in the faith? There are some who are here in this place who have been believers for years who ought to be mature and even teachers of others, but you need to be taught once again the elementary principles. That is perhaps why some of you here may be tempted to receive what you think is solid food of the word from other places, whetting your appetites on those who tickle your itching ears and speak fervently to whatever the current cultural hot topic is of the day, and all the while neglecting to feast upon the actual spiritual food that is laid before you each and every Lord's Day from this pulpit, being proclaimed to you from the minister of God that He has appointed over you. Have you become unskilled in the word of righteousness? The man who is unskilled in the word of righteousness is unable to minister even to his own soul, much less those around him. And so he seeks after that ministry, that skillfulness in word of righteousness from other places, though he has no clue what it is he's actually looking for. And so he gets sucked into errant views, these false teachers, and eventually doesn't even turn to the milk, which was at least giving him some sort of nutrients. This is a sign of immaturity. It's the child who is unable to discern where nourishment comes from. Pastor Rick Phillips says, perpetually infant Christians are unable to distinguish between genuine and ungenuine expressions of the faith, between sound and the dangerous, between the Spirit of God and the spirit of the age. This is the state of much of the church today. Paul describes this very thing in Ephesians chapter 4, when he says, And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the ministry, for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. We see this in many Christian circles. People seeking after emotional experiences, chasing after those mountaintop moments, taking in self-help motivational material that claims to be rooted in the Word of God, but is simply worldly wisdom with a Jesus flair. But we here in the Reformed Presbyterian Church are not immune to this either. There are men who claim the title of Reformed, but make their entire living off of doing the exact thing in leading people down a path of immaturity and tossing you about by every wind of doctrine. Be on guard. You must be able to recognize this and cut it off when it begins to happen. Seek the spiritual nourishment from the local church. Heed the wisdom and godly advice of the elders who are appointed over you, and be planted in the Word. Otherwise, you may be the one who is carried about by every wind of doctrine. So how do you do this? So for the remainder of our time, I want us to focus on the second aspect of what the author is speaking on in our text, and that is the path to maturity. Our text gives the remedy to this problem, a remedy to the spiritual immaturity that is plaguing these Christians. Hear rightly and feast spiritually. Verse 11 says that the reason this problem came about in these believers is because they didn't hear rightly. About this, speaking of Christ's priesthood after the order of Melchizedek, about this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Now, there wasn't some physical defect with the ears of these believers, but there was a spiritual defect with their hearts. They did not have ears to hear. The word was taught to them faithfully. They had partaken of the milk of the word, embracing the basic principles of the truth of the gospel. But then they shut their ears off. They became dull of hearing. Well, perhaps you are sitting here this evening and you are in the same situation. You come to church week in and week out, and you sit there with your family beside you and your Bible open, but all the while you are deaf to the word that is being proclaimed to you from this pulpit. Wake up. Come out of your slumber. Take the earplugs out of your ears and listen to the words that Christ has given to you. Some of you will go home and you will never consider again the truths that are proclaimed to you on this Lord's Day. The words of Pastor Jeff this morning will be no more on your minds once you leave this building than his sermon that he preached a month ago. Some of you may even be sitting here right now and not paying any mind to what the Scriptures are saying to you in this very moment. Brothers and sisters, that is a dangerous state to be in. open your ears and hear what the Word of God is saying to you here in this moment. Because if you don't, there could be dire consequences. It's no mere coincidence that this passage about spiritual immaturity and being dull of hearing comes right before one of the most powerful and explicit warnings against apostasy. Falling away is the next digressive state for those who have closed their ears to the things of the Lord and choose not to be nourished by the meat. Heed the warning of this book. Open your ears to what the Lord is speaking to you in His Word and hear rightly. Your eternity lays in the balance. So you must open your ears and hear rightly, but that is only the first step in this path to spiritual maturity. Next, you must feast spiritually. Verse 14 says, "But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." You must dive into the depths of the riches of the glory of Christ Jesus and rely upon the Spirit to implant those truths of the Word within you. You must trust that He will provide you with the spiritual nourishment that you need while you feast upon the meat of the Word. You'll never be a leader in the Church of Christ if you are starving spiritually, if you're not feasting on the solid food that is presented before you. You'll never be a faithful spiritual leader in your home if you are not spiritually nourished yourself. You will never grow personally in your walk with the Lord if you are not seeking to grow continually and to mature through the nourishment that He gives you in His Word. And this is a whole being commitment. It requires every part of you. The phrase used here in the ESV that's translated powers of discernment is really a more holistic bodily metaphor that's being used. It speaks to all of the organs, all of the senses being built up and made ready to discern good from evil. It's the whole man that is trained up. John Calvin says, "We are ever to strive until we be in every way furnished by God's Word and be so armed for battle that Satan may by no means steal upon us with his fallacies." This is training you for war. Now I want you to think of that imagery for a second and apply it to this truth of spiritual maturity and feasting on the Word. You are in the midst of a battle. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Most of you know that I was in the army for 8 years, and I can tell you from personal experience that preparing for war is something that I had to do on a daily basis. As a soldier, you're constantly training yourself for the battle which lays ahead. And missing training meant the potential of making a deadly mistake. And that's just physical warfare. If soldiers devote their whole lives, their whole beings to being trained up and equipped to go into the battlefield and face a physical enemy, why would you think it would take any less commitment in this spiritual war that you are already in the midst of? Get up and do something. Take the initiative and begin to be trained in the ways of the Lord. Do not be content with being unskilled in the word of righteousness, but instead take up the solid food that is displayed before you and train yourself to discern good and evil, preparing yourself to fight the evils of this world with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Whatever your situation in life, your responsibilities require that you grow in understanding of Christian teaching. Husbands, you cannot possibly provide the redeeming encouragement that your wife needs and that the Bible requires, much less raise your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord without a mature grasp of biblical teaching. If you want to conquer the culture for Christ's sake, if you want to outbreed the pagans, as one person put it, then you have to be skilled in the word of righteousness so that you can then equip your wife and your children in it as well. But this isn't just something for the men to do. Women, you are united to Christ and are made partakers of every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. And so this encouragement to feast spiritually is for you as well. In 2 Timothy 3, Paul speaks out against those weak women who are unable to stand on the truth. You must have knowledge in the truth in order to stand on it. Pick up your Bibles. Pick up a solid Reformed theology book. Diligently sit under the faithful preaching of the Word, seeking to apply its truths to your life. This is your duty, dear sisters, as blood-bought children of the living God. Paul talks about older women being a source of wisdom and instruction to younger women in Titus 2. That can only happen if you're not simply content with milk, but instead are being nourished by the meat. And there are those within this place who are doing this and doing this faithfully. There are men in this place who have given their entire lives to feasting on the Word, to leading this congregation, to leading their families. There are women in this place who have dedicated their entire beings to training and instructing younger women in this church, being godly examples to their children and raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. To those of you who are diligently remaining steadfast in this, I say to you, press on. Don't be discouraged. Continue to feast upon the Word and be built up, strengthened, and matured, and be an example to those around you so that they can see what this looks like. Brothers and sisters, this word proclaimed to you today serves as both a warning and an encouragement. Be warned of the dangers of spiritual malnourishment. Flee the evil one who seeks to carry you about by every wind of doctrine. Be firmly anchored in the word of truth, feasting on the solid spiritual food which is given to you so that you may be strengthened and sustained in Christ. And be encouraged that He has provided you with the means to do this, and that He promises to be with you every step of the way. And this is the way, this is the path to spiritual maturity. Let us pray. Heavenly Father God, we ask that You would feed us with your word, that it would be sweeter than the honeycomb to us. So sweet that we cannot take in enough of it. Lord, there is no gluttony of the word. You have told us to feast upon it and to feast richly. So, Lord, we ask that you would continue to instill in us a desire and a drive to feast upon your word, to dive into the deeper things, to not neglect the elementary principles, but to build upon them, seeking to grow in doctrine so that we may be presented perfect and mature before you in that last day. Father, we ask that you would implant these truths into our hearts and convict us where we have fallen short. We ask that you would continue to mold us into the leaders, both in the church and in the home, that you have called us to be. And we know that we can only do this through the power of the Spirit of Christ working in us. And so that is why we ask these things of you, O Sovereign Lord, because you are the one who makes these things come to pass. So we ask it in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let us respond to this word by singing of that word. By singing of the word that is sweeter than honey to our lips from Psalm 119, Selection M. Please stand and sing 119, Selection M, and remain standing for the benediction.